So we're going to discuss here, the first sugya we learned and got through was about folding clothing on Shabbos. We'll talk about that a little bit. And then we're going to get into the sugya of washing leather, which is the Gemara in Tzvachim. So even if you haven't gotten to the end of the Gemara in Tzvachim, I'll go through all the steps, and this way, when you get there, you'll be able to identify them. The sugya of washing leather, very relevant sugya. It's relevant to leather, you know, to your shoes and to a couch. What you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, that's A. And B, what's also the relevance is that it also applies to all other materials other than, like, your typical cloth materials. What is their status as far as washing is concerned? For example, a vinyl tablecloth. Are you allowed to wash down a vinyl tablecloth? That's totally in the sugya of leather. It's the same, basically the same absorbance. Or at least, with l'chumra, we consider it to be equal as far as its absorbency. Contact lenses, soft contact lenses, is compared to leather. It's plastic, so it's not ultra absorbent, even though they're pretty absorbent as they are. But as far as their status is washing, it's compared to leather. So whatever the maskana, the gemara with leather is going to be, is what's going to be the halacha by contact lenses. And likewise, any other material which is not exactly cloth, but it can be is pliable, permeable. We'll have this same halacha, and we'll be subject to the halachas that we end up with leather. But first, just talk a little bit about folding clothing. So the Gemara on Shabbos, we learned, said that you're not allowed to fold clothing on Shabbos. Basically, the Gemara gave a whole bunch of tanoim where it would be permissible, but to meet all of them is highly unlikely. So basically, the case in Shulchan Aruch, the only way you can actually fold clothing that it would be mutter is if you don't fold it on the folds. If you don't fold it on the folds, hence the minig on Shabbos morning when a person puts away his talus, you fold it the wrong way. You fold it backwards against the folds so that you're not folding on the folds, and then it's mutter. There's a couple of interesting things about this. Interesting thing number one is that you learn the Mishnah that says that the Mishnah says you are allowed to fold, and there is a situation meeting all the requirements of the Gemara that you are allowed to fold even on the folds. But the Mishnah says you can't do it for Matzah Shabbos. You can only do it for Shabbos. In other words, if you're planning on wearing that beged, that cloth, clothing, later on Shabbos, so you can fold it so that it stays nice for when you use it later on Shabbos. But you can't fold it for Matzah Shabbos. And it would seem that the problem is Hachana. You're not allowed to do anything for Matzah Shabbos, then this not being any worse. You're not allowed to prepare for after Shabbos ever on Shabbos, so you can't fold your clothing, even if it's permissible to fold, it met all the requirements, but still, you can't do it for Matzah Shabbos. So what's interesting is that one would imagine that being the case, then it shouldn't change if you're folding it on the folds or off the folds. Because as far as preparing something for Matzah Shabbos goes, what's the difference? You know, you're not allowed to do something for a weekday, regardless of how you're folding it. So if the reason why you're folding it, let's say even the wrong way, but the reason why you're folding it is because you want it to stay nice. It'll stay nicer that way than if you just smush it up. So why would it help the fact that you're doing it you're not folding it on the folds? But yet, in Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah says that if you fold it the wrong way, it's mutter even though you're doing it for Matzah Shabbos. So apparently, the idea seems to be that when you fold it the wrong way, you're accomplishing so little, because really you're not really saving the baguette at all. It's really folding it the wrong way is bad for the baguette. So you're accomplishing so little, you're just preventing it from getting that much more creased. That's not considered enough of an act, enough of a hachana, enough of a preparation that it should be aser. We have to know what you can compare this to. In other words, let's give you an example. There's a halacha by hachana that you can do certain things just to prevent the situation from becoming worse, even though it's really entirely for Matzah Shabbos. The typical example, you had asked me about this, about rinsing off dishes, you know. You're not washing them, you don't need them anymore on Shabbos, but you're rinsing them off, so it shouldn't become, you know, fully encrusted like a rock, that even the strongest dishwasher, you know, won't be able to knock off that dirt. So you're just doing it to make your life easier, but what you're really doing is just keeping things status quo. You just don't want things to get worse. That's not considered a hachana. So it seems to be that idea over here. Folding it the wrong way, you're not really accomplishing anything, but you're just making sure that it doesn't get a whole new plethora of creases and become really ugly. That's why it would be mutter. Now, Mishnah Berurah says that the Master Shekel says that there's a chumrah, you shouldn't even fold it the wrong way, in other words, the opposite of the folds, the other direction. you should just roll it up. So if anybody actually does that on Shabbos, you should have in mind you're doing a chumrah. Do L'Shem Shemayim. It's way, you know, even if you're lazy, you could do L'Shem Shemayim. There's a Gemara about that in Tochen. There's Yesh Atzel V'Niskar. You know, you can do things just because you're lazy, but if you do L'Shem Shemayim. Anyway, so that's a good thing to keep in mind. But otherwise, so Archa Shabbos, he says, the Rav Rotus was the Rav of that shul that Nebuchadnezzar attacked in Har Nof. That's the Rabbi Rubin, yeah. He wrote Archa Shabbos. So he writes that, this is a Svara, but it's a very mistabbed Svara. He says that this whole issue, even this Chumrah of not to fold it the other way, is only if you really get it on the line. Right? So you're actually accomplishing something. In other words, you're folding it the other way and you're really getting it on the line the other way. Then there's a chumrah not to do that. But if you're folding it the other way and you're not really being medakdek that it should get on the line, so then they said then there's not. That's like you're folding it nowhere. Then that would be mutter. That you don't need, that's not even a chumrah.
So what if you get your pants from you get your suit from the dry cleaner?
Oh, so, so that's the next thing. He says another svara also, which I know people heard this from other rabbanim also, that let's say you want to hang up your pants at night, right? And you don't want to turn them inside out, and you don't want to just throw them down so because they're going to get ruined. So he says, as a heter, to hold it on the top of the pants by the so that it just falls into place, you know, especially if it's been recently to the dry cleaner, it's not hasn't been you know out of the dry cleaner for too long, and it still has its pleats looking nice and sharp. So all you have to do really is just hold it by the top in the right place, and the pleats will fall into place. You don't have to like really rub it into that. You can do that. You're allowed to do. But other than that, to actually smooth out the pleats would be that wouldn't be mutter. But you could use what you could do is though you know, say you could hold it by the top and then attach it to a hanger, like even a skirt hanger or over a chair. Once the pleats fall into place, that's okay. Yeah.
For regular Thomas. Folded regularly, but not very carefully.
That would be equivalent, right? That's fine.
So you'd be allowed to do that.
Right, if you're not folding on the line, that's like doing nothing, right? That's like folding it not on the crease. As long as you aren't makbid on those creases, then it's it makes no difference which way you fold it. As long as you're not aiming for the crease.
Did the Rob say that you could fold the pants when you're just holding it onto a hanger?
That's regular.
Yeah, so you can do it. In other words, you can hold it, it falls into place, and then you can just drape it over a hanger. Yeah, that's not a problem. That's mutter. The last thing is that folding laundry, so laundry doesn't really have any creases, right? So you can fold it as long as you're not too makbid on smoothing it out. If you're makbid on smoothing it out, so then it's sort of equivalent as folding it on the crease, because you're smoothing out the point of, there's nothing, the creases isn't the point. The point is you're not allowed to take out the wrinkles from begadim, and folding it on the crease was a method of getting out the wrinkles. So if you fold the laundry, if you're not very makbid on the undershirts and whatever it is that you're folding, you just like, you know, get it into shape and weiter, that's okay. But if you really smooth it out, that would be a problem. Now, it's interesting is that this is not really Hilchas Malabin washing, this is Hilchas Bairer. If you were to go through a whole laundry load, you know, like you have a whole basket, you know, if it's just you're looking for an undershirt and you found yourself your undershirt, fine. But if you're going to go through the whole load and fold it up, and while you're folding it up, you'll put the undershirts in one pile, underwear in another pile, and the shirts and whatever it is that you're folding, that's Bairer. That's Nisa Daraisa of Bairer, because we'll, Bez Hashem, learn Bairer one day. But there's a concept in Bayer is that you can't organize something, which means even though you haven't picked out an undershirt specifically, you just took whatever came to your hand, but your sum product is, your sum total is, you made the whole thing organized, right? It's sort of the same like when you have a room full of toys, right? And it's all mixed up, small little things, let's say little Lego pieces, little puzzle pieces, it's all mixed up. So you can't say, okay, I'll just pick up one piece, whatever comes to my hand, and I'll throw it into its respective container, because by the time you're done, you've organized everything. So that's not a heter. So in folding laundry, I don't even know exactly how you'd be able to do it without running into a buyer problem. But if, let's say, you folded it and didn't organize it while you're folding it, which seems pretty pointless, then you wouldn't have buyer. Yeah. Hey, if you're just looking for something, right, then it's not a problem. But if you're just trying to do all the undershirts, you mean, then there's a different type of buyer. Then you're picking out the undershirts. You know what I mean? One shot, you're going to get stuck with. It's hard to avoid the buyer here. Sometimes
the whole
what you could
load
do
is undershirts. So
right. So if that should ever happen, you could do that. Or I've never been that lucky.
Maybe the summer.
Yeah, but or I guess what you could also do is you could just spread out everything. You know, not even make a pile. It's each thing put in an individual place. Maybe that would be also okay. You haven't really organized it. Okay. Fine. That's as far as folding is concerned. Now, let's move on to the sugi over here in Zvachim. So the sugi in Zvachim here is discussing dam chatas. It's referring to the halacha. And it's important to know this, and you don't, I mean, there's no background given over here in the Gemara, it just starts right away. But the halacha by dam chatas is that if dam chatas spritzes on clothing, there's a chiyuv to wash it, and that chiyuv is a mitzvah. In other words, it's not a matter of choice, and it's not a matter of practicality to get rid of the dam. That's not the issue. You can't, like, you can't just take it and burn it. If you forget about it, I'll just throw away the baguette. That's not an option. It's a mitzvah to burn it, to wash it. And it's a mitzvah to wash it in a makam kaddish. You have to wash it in the azara. So it's halachas. It's a halacha, it's a mitzvah. So it has to be done in a specific way. So if the Mishnah says that, which the Mishnah does say, that if the dam spritzes on leather, you're obligated to wash it, that means there's a mitzvah to wash it, and it has to be washed in the azara. That means not just washing it because that's a nice practical way to get rid of the dam. That means it's capable of being washed. Leather can have kibus, it can have libun, it's something which is washable, right? That's why we prove from the fact that the Mishnah says that a dam chata spritzes on a beged, on leather, it has to be washed. That's a proof that there is real kibus, real malacha of kibus is being performed over here, although it's leather, which the Gemara seems to think is a big chiddush because it's not really so absorbent. So the Mishnah in over here in Dam Chata says you have to wash leather. So we prove from here that leather is washable. We have a contradiction from a Mishnah in Shabbos that says that if you have a pillowcase made out of leather, you're allowed to pour water on it. So it says, pour water on it. But Gemara understands, the Mishnah says that you can only do it with leather. If it would be made out of linen, you would not be allowed to pour water on it. You can just scrape it off. So you see, it's permissible to wash leather on Shabbos. And the assumption is washing is the same. Washing is universal. Whatever is considered washing will be washing as far as Dam Chatas. And whatever is not considered washing won't be considered not washing, not for Dam Chatas and not for Shabbos. The two things are interchangeable. So here we have a stereo. By Dam Chatas it says you have to wash it, even though it's leather. And by Shabbos it says you're allowed to pour water on it since it's leather. So you see, one Mishnah says not washing by leather, other Mishnah says yes, washing by leather. To which the Gemara goes through a few steps till it figures out exactly what the status of leather is. First it tries that it's a machlekes acherim and Rabbanan. Some, the acherim hold, you could wash leather, and the Rabbanan say there's no washing by leather. That's a bayah. Then the Gemara says, Rava says, no, everybody has to agree there's some type of leather you could wash, because by Taras, it says you wash leather, it's a pasuk. So he says, okay, soft leather, everybody agrees you can wash. Hard leather, that's where they argue. The Rabbanan say hard leather can't be washed, and the Acherim say it could. So l'fi the Acherim, all leathers could be washed. L'fi the Rabbanan, soft leather could be washed, but hard leather not. So now we have a chiluk between soft and hard. Soft leather, everybody holds it is washable. Hard leather is a machlekes. Then the Gemara has this issue with Negayim. The Gemara says Negayim makes everything soft. Fine, that's a side point. Then the Gemara goes on to say, one second, we haven't really taken care of everything yet, because the Mishnah in Shabbos is talking about a pillowcase. A pillowcase, one would imagine, is soft. It's the whole purpose. And yet, the Gemara and it says you'll have to pour water on it. So you see, even soft leather is excluded from washing. We just said soft leather, everybody holds you can wash. You see, even soft leather is not washable, is not subject to washing, because you'll have to pour water on it to clean it. To which the Gemara says, the Gemara explains as it goes on, that no, washing leather is different than washing clothing. Washing clothing, as soon as you pour water on it, triyase zehu kibusai, making something wet already constitutes kibus. Whereas leather, washing leather requires kiskos. Kiskos, which Rashi explains, means taking two sides of the baguette and rubbing them together, right? Which is a strong form of washing. So leather, in order to have washing by leather, you have to rub it together. So it comes out leather is like this. If you just pour water on leather, you can pour water on all forms of leather. If you're rubbing it, so then soft leather, everybody agrees is prohibited. You're not allowed to rub soft leather because that type of washing is possible even by soft leather. And by hard leather, again, it's only a problem if you rub it, but even if you do rub it, it's a machlekes. It's a machlekes Rabbanan hold. There's no washing by hard leather at all, even if you rub it. And the Acherim hold that there is. Right, so that ends up being the breakdown. That if you don't rub it, just pour water, you could do that on any form of leather. You could, if your couch, which is soft leather, someone spills apple juice on it and it's all sticky, you can pour water on it till it gets off. That's mutter. That's what comes out from this Gemara. Pouring water on even soft leather is permitted. If you want to start rubbing it in order to get off the stickiness, that we'll talk about in a second, because what the Gemara says is rubbing the two sides together. So we have to know, we're going to discuss in a minute, what about just rubbing it with your finger? Where does that fall in? But let's say you had something made out of leather that you're actually going to rub the two sides together, that would be aser. If it's soft leather, lakuliyama. If it's hard leather, let's say like your shoe, which let's assume shoes are hard leather, boots, they're hard leather, there, lahalacha, we happen to paskin like the Rabbanan, that there is no washing by hard leather, you would even be allowed to rub it. It would be permissible to rub it, to take another piece of leather, to take a brush, and actually rub down your boots. That should be the halacha when you finish the sugya. That's what should come out over here. What should come out is that by not rubbing, you could pour water on anything. With rubbing, soft leather, no. Hard leather, yes, because we pass it like the Rabbanan, that there's no washing by hard leather. That should be the halacha. Question is that the halacha? So the Mechaber says that's the halacha. But that's good. The Mechaber does paskin that way. The Mechaber says, it's a Simon Shin Beis Siftes Mutter Litain Mayim Al Gabi Minol L'Shachshachai. You're allowed to put water on a shoe L'Shachshachai. So L'Shachshachai is the Gemara's term that meant just to pour water, like the dirt goes off by itself. To douse it in water. Exactly the real translation of the word. But in any case, you're allowed to pour water on a shoe just to get the dirt off. Av L'Chabsai, but to wash it. You take one end and the other and you rub it together. That is asr. Okay, so the Mechaber doesn't really talk about a hard or soft leather that he leaves out. Later he goes on to, then he gets into clothing. But when he talks about leather, at least that much he does say. He doesn't say whether he's talking about hard or soft, but he does say that you're allowed to pour water, but you're not allowed to rub the two sides together. That much clarification the Mechaber does give us. The Rambam, however, that's on the other side of that paper I gave out, is a little bit more unclear. He says even less. In this is Perek Chavbeis Halach Yudches. He says minol a sandal shenis lachlech betit ubitzaya minol or a sandal that was got dirty from tit and saya. Mutul shachshachay b'mayim. You're allowed to pour water on it. Abul lechabsoy asa. But you're not allowed to be mechabesit. Now mechabes is a very very unclear term. He should have said, like the Mechaber said, you're now allowed to be meshafshiv tzidai al tzidai. Lechabsoy doesn't mean anything specific. I mean, you can't wash it. What does washing mean? And he should have said very specifically, you're now allowed to rub one end on the other. Rambam doesn't specify that you're not allowed to rub one end on another. So Mishabur says like this. Mishabur says that the Mechaber is paskening like our Gemara straight up. He doesn't differentiate between hard and soft, which is a problem. But at least the first part of our Gemara he brings down the way it is, which is soft leather, you're allowed to pour water on it, but you're not allowed to rub the two ends together. Mishabur says that being the case, the only problem is rubbing two ends together, which is a very strong form of washing. Let's say you just want to rub it with your hand, you know, to get the dirt off, which would be a very helpful thing to do. For example, if it's not just apple juice or something like that, but if it's something that actually has some sort of mamashes to it, some food gets stuck to your couch or gets stuck to your vinyl tablecloth, which we'll assume is the same as leather, you'll want to rub it a little bit, otherwise it won't come out. You want to scratch at it as you're pouring water on it. So that would be mutter. The only thing that would be a problem would be taking two ends of the tablecloth and going like that. That would be usr. But to rub it with your hand, that's fine. Because that's not this. Real washing requires to rub the two ends together. Rubbing it with your hand, that's still included in pouring water. That's what Mishnah Berurah says, and that's what the Mechaber holds, which seems to be very straight from the sugya. However, in the Bir Alochi, it's a big arichas over here, to say that the Rambam that we just read just says kibbutz is usher. He doesn't specify rubbing the two ends together. And likewise, the Rif and the Rush and other Rishonim don't make any specific like that. Likewise, the Rambam does not differentiate between hard and soft. So this is what happened. Why didn't the Rambam take note of the fact that the Gemara said that that's the only way you're ever on kibbutz by R? So he comes to a very interesting conclusion. When Be'ez Hashem, you get to the end of the Gemara, all the way to the end of the Gemara, it says Darash Rava. Rava gave a drasha on Shabbos. And he said that you're allowed to wash a shoe on Shabbos. Mutal chavas minal b'Shabbos. That's what he said. So Rav Papa told him, 1 second, Rav only allowed you to do shichshuch, which is pouring water. He didn't allow you to wash it. So Rav said, no, I made a mistake. You're only allowed to do shichshuch. Excuse me, shichshuch mutter, but kibbutz is aser. So Rav, in his grand statement, when he gave his drasha, he gave his shir on Shabbos for the whole tzibur, right? He didn't specify rubbing side on side. He didn't give any of those specifications. He just said, pour water, yes, kibbutz, without any rules, without any limitations, is aser. So the Rambam took that to mean that Rava, when he had said before this difference about rubbing things together, that's all on a deraisa level. Darabana, you're not allowed to do anything. Darabana, the only thing you're allowed to do is pour water. That's how he understood this drasha. When Rava was talking to the tzibur, he's telling them halacha lemaisa. He wasn't discussing, the concepts of libun. He was actually saying halacha lemaisa, what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. He only allowed them to do only pouring water, but anything other than that is aser. That's how he understands. So Mishaburi says, although the mechaber says that he says the only time it's aser is when you rub, but being that so many rishonim don't make that difference and they say you can't pour water. No matter what, because they learned the maskanas haGemara is that it'll always also be aser drabanan. So therefore, the Mishaburu says that you should be machmer, and even if you have a stain on your couch, you have a spill on your couch, a spill on other leather things, like on your shoes, on a leather garment, etc. It's vinyl tablecloth. You can pour water on it, and you can move the water around. You can even hold it under a stream of water. It's also mutter. But you can't do a movement with your hand. You can't rub it with your hand. That you can't do. And of course you can't rub the two hands together. That even the Mechaber says. So you could hold it under a stream. That would probably help. But to any rubbing would be a problem. Yeah.
If you have you pour the water on it, now you just want to dry the water off with a towel.
Once it's clean?
Yeah.
Once it's clean. Yeah, wet and clean. And stand. L'chayr, that should be mutter. L'chayr, that should be mutter. I think so. Yeah, because you're not doing any cleaning but rubbing it off. Yeah, that should be okay. Yeah. So now, so yeah.
Are we going to get to like a plastic
tablecloth? So vinyl. Now, you want to know, what about, let's say, real plastic? For example, let's say your chairs are covered with plastic, right? Or the hard plastic. So I would have thought that is not permeable at all, right? That repels water 100%. And that shouldn't be a shaila at all. I have this issue here that Rishon Zalman says in the Shemesh Abbas Kolchasa and other contemporary Paiskim say, and he quotes this also, they say it's a problem. I'm not 100% sure what they're talking about. They're not really very, very clear. They might be talking about a vinyl form of plastic, which is designed differently and which does soak up some water. It's very hard for me to accept that real plastic could have this table, for sure you could, because it's a keli. If it's not soft, anything which is hard, that's for sure you're allowed to clean. That's not a rule. That's why you're allowed to wash dishes on Shabbos, right? Even if it's wooden or whatever, even though that soaks up water. Anything which is hard is a keli that does not subject the halachas of mulabim at all. That's a good thing to know. Like, so your floor, your vinyl floor, you can wash. That's not a problem. Right, it's only when it's something soft, which is a material-like substance, that it's a question. So I don't know yet. I have to ask around more to see what the story is with real plastic. It's very hard to understand that it should be a problem. But in any case, vinyl leather, that certainly would fall under this. So let's think what we have here so far. So we have as follows. We have the Gemara, once again. We have the Gemara. The Gemara said that the Mishnah that we're really coming to explain is the Mishnah of Karam Iksasis. This Mishnah talking about bed coverings and pillows, which is made out of leather, that you're allowed to pour water on it. The Gemara seems to say that not only are you allowed to pour water, but you're even allowed to do other actions to clean it with your fingers and with maybe something else. But you can't just, the only thing you can't do is rub end on end. Since it's soft, everybody holds it's a problem, you can't rub end on end. To which the Mishnah Berurah says that the Rambam understands that was not the Maskanas HaGemara. That is just the Gemara is discussing Midaraisa, what would be the Halacha. The Maskana, we don't like to do anything other than just pour water. That's what Mishnah Berurah says, which is not like the Mechab. Mechab says Mutter regardless. It's possible, like Lamashal, let's say it was a real Hafsim Ruba, right? Let's say something was poured on your white leather couch, which has very strong food dye in it, right? Someone there spilled all their ices over your couch, and you know that if you leave it there, that's it. You're having a blue and a yellow and purple couch. It's not gonna come out otherwise, which is pretty much the metzias. So then there would be a hatter. I mean, probably it would probably be enough to just pour the water, but if you need to do a little bit more than that, makom hafsa meruba, there is a makom to be makel, because the mechaber says, and the Ramah doesn't disagree. The mechaber says, paskin, that unless you're rubbing it with two sides, it's mutter. So that's something to keep in mind.
You said that for hard, didn't
he? No, the mechaber didn't differentiate hard and soft. He didn't get into that. So this is something that's good to know. What's interesting, though, now this is not discussed at all over here in the Paiskim. What about using a soap? Let's say you want to spritz a cleaner, some sort of a detergent on your vinyl tablecloth. You don't want to rub it, you just want to spritz it, because it'll sit there, it'll soak in. You want to spritz it on your couch in order to protect it. What about that? Is that mutter? Is that also not discussed? Totally not discussed. What would we think? Seams and svara, the only thing we're prohibiting is something that's a real kibbutz and requires some action. Pouring water apparently is not considered kibbutz. But the truth is that a big part of washing does require soaking with a detergent. So even though Gemara doesn't discuss it, it could be that that's also self-understood. It's sort of equivalent to rubbing it. And it doesn't say. He says, that Rabbi Reuben says over here in Arafah Shabbos, he assumes with the pashtus that it's asr, he does not bring any source. He just says, misvara. I'll read it to you. He says, mutter lishrois arba mayim, you're allowed to soak leather in water. Then he says, amnam ein lishrois is arba mayim, you're not to soak the leather in water, shemu uravim bahem chamre nikoy, if you mixed in a detergent. Then it's aser. What's his source? Oysama chen mestaber. The loy metzinu heter shriya. You don't find the heter to soak el b'mayim, only with water. The loy b'chamre nikoy, not with detergent. Asha tivam lahamis as ashumanim. Their teva is that they take away, they dissolve the fats. Oy lahalbin as eksamim. They whiten the stains. V'chulu v'chein shemanim mehagarin of nisim karelitz shlita. So he quotes of nisim karelitz. That using a detergent would be awesome. So you wouldn't be allowed to spray your couch with some sort of a cleaning spray. Now he goes on from here, and he says, as regarding to soft contact lenses, so he says you can soak it in water, that you can do, because it's like leather, and you're allowed to soak it in water, but you're not allowed to add the cleaning solution to the water. That you can't do, because that's this problem. So he says you can soak the soft contact lenses. The hard contact lenses, which I don't know if anybody wears anymore, but for those that do hard contact lenses, he says it's like a cable. It's hard, it's a piece of plastic, that's mutter. But soft contact lenses, which are permeable, that you can soak in water, but you can't soak in chaymer nikah. You can't soak in a detergent solution.
So we're considering saline solution as water.
Saline solution would just be water. It's just salt. Yeah. So that would be mutter.
Puts in actual water.